Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Romans 8. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Acts 1.
But does that mean that we are obligated to live after the flesh dies? Is that what that means?
What?
What does that sentence mean?
It means we don't owe the flesh anything. We don't owe, the flesh meaning is the word sarx, which means all of the actions, all of the sensory perceptions.
Okay, I understand that. Is that the whole meaning, or is that part of it?
Well, it's
part
of it.
I've never understood this sentence.
Well, let's just concentrate right now on that meaning. Which means other things too. Acts 1. No, let's not go there. 2 Thessalonians. We're going places tonight. First Thessalonians, chapter 4. I'm sorry. I didn't write the scriptures down when I was studying.
Did you change to what?
First Thessalonians, chapter 4. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That and a million other scriptures to me indicate that God is waiting for a body of people not to be in debt, because the debt is what anchors you to the earth. The debt is what permits and causes you to be unable to abandon yourself. The debt is what causes you to constantly go inward for sustenance or for concern or for... The debt is what causes mind talk. The debt is what causes you constantly to gad about to change yourself. The debt is what constantly thinks and concerns itself only with the vain thoughts that lodge within you, which the Bible calls mischief. And so I believe that this issue of debt in its totality is what we need to see that we're free from. The only way we can be free from it is you have to see it as debt. If you don't believe it's debt, you can't be free from it. Right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If I don't think something is a debt, then I can't be forgiven of it. Before I was a believer, I was convinced I was going to be president of the United States. I had it all planned out, which when to run for office, when to do this, when to do that, the right people to meet, the right role to play, the right way to dress, the right clubs to belong to, the right on and on and on. If somebody would have told me that's a debt, I would have told them they're crazy. That's not a debt, that's my goal, that's my destiny.
To follow that star.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Hopeless.
No matter how stupid.
No matter how.
Futile.
And I know.
No matter how idiotic.
True.
Okay, it's easy for you to say that for me to desire to be president or think I could be was stupid and futile.
Yeah. Well, I think it's futile, but I don't think it's stupid.
Huh?
I think you could have been.
It's not impossible.
Oh, I think you could have been.
Well, anyway, that, what would have really been futile is if I had desired to be quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. That would have been futile.
Stupid.
That would be stupid and futile. But, so my point was, very early in life, I got debt free as much as I could. I did it automatically. I never bought into anything that anybody told me. Even when I was a little teeny, 3-4 years old, I never bought into what my mother and dad told me. I never bought into what the priest told me. I never bought into what they taught me in school. Nothing ever was meaning. It was all stupid to me. My constant identity was rules are for when brains run out. Until I got old enough to see what power was. Then I decided I might be able to use this. And so I got into politics.
God, it's a good thing you didn't get to be president.
I'd have made a kind and benevolent king.
Richard Nixon look. Man.
Anyway, long story short, that was the thing that controlled me. Not values. I had no values. Not morals. I had no morals. Not my parental identity, nothing. I had none of that. God in his wisdom made me debt free. But then he put me in total debt to this dream or this ambition or this idea. And I sacrificed everything for that goal. Didn't get very far. Government stopped offshore oil leases. Now, it's easy, relatively easy, for us to see the vanity and the debt of that kind of thing, how it would control your life. How it even might be something worthy of sacrificing to. How it'd be worthy of giving importance to. Now, let's back it down. Let's back it down to the goal, to the debts that I never bought into. Let's back it down to the debt, oh, if I work hard, then I will be okay. If I follow these rules, then I'll get this. If I, you know, whatever it is, whatever, do you understand what I'm saying? I want us to go through this process of identifying which of those debts we still buy into. Which of the images? Now, I wish you'd all brought a pencil and paper. Never mind, you'll get a memo. Most of us go into debt constantly. I mean, it's just a constant stream of debt. And so because of debt, there's no joy, there's no pleasure, there's no reality, there's no abandonment, there's no life. Now, I know you all well enough in this room to know where you're in debt. I want to see if you'll confess it. And that's what we're going to do the next few weeks. So, again, let's review other words for debt. Vows, promises, plans, dreams, wishes, if-onlys, comparisons are a big debt. Images, visualizations, obligations, responsibilities, shoulds, should-nots, ought-tos, ought-not-tos, on and on and on. You get the image? All of them lead you into debt. Like, don't like. Now, what are the categories of all these debts? There's a parental debt. There's the debt that your parents had that you bought into. Many of you bought into what's called the American dream. It's an image of life that you go into debt for. You have an image of what you think life would be and what it should be. You know, whether it's, you know, it sounds corny now, but for most of the life of this century, the American dream has been real. The house, the ownership of a house, the family, the children. It is that kind of a generational or parental debt. It's real. It's as real as if you went to a bank and borrowed $100,000 and are not able to pay it. And these elders are hounding you. The tax collector, the collectors, the bill collectors are hounding you. The ones that are hounding you are these 70 board of elders up here in your skull. So what other debts did your parents leave you? What other debts did you inherit from your parents?
Save for retirement.
If I work hard and follow the rules, then I will be successful. If I get an education, then I will do better in life. If I get married, then I will be successful. Then I am successful. If I get a good job that has a retirement plan, then I will be okay. If I am able to provide for my children better than I was or my grandparents was, then I am okay. If I am real conscientious, conscientiousness is another debt. If I'm very conscientious, then my children will grow up to be successful. One of the huge, most incredible parental debts is, who do you associate with? The definition of the kind of people you should associate with. Well, here, my God, most of the people here are the ones that your parents said not to associate. I'm the one your parents said not to associate with. I mean, do you understand? Right, right. All of these are debts that are real. Even in the most dysfunctional family, that debt exists. And it's compound interest. It's over and over and over and over pounded into you. Everybody understand that? Why?
I don't know how much of it came from me and how much of it came from my parents and how much of it came from other relatives, but I mean, I know, you know, I was supposed to make it out of the class that the family was in. I was supposed to break through to the next class. I was supposed to be the first college graduate. I was supposed to be the first professional. I was supposed to travel the world and be witty and wealthy and have a beautiful wife and live in Manhattan and not have any kids. And I mean, there's this whole thing.
But can you imagine the strength of that debt as it is emphasized almost daily in your life as a child? Over and over and over and over and over. It is literally a debt for which the interest is being compounded daily. And it will control your being. I mean, please acknowledge if you understand this or not.
Yeah.
Now, you'll have an opportunity because you're going to have to start listing these debts. Any other parental debts that you can think of?
These debts are okay because we love
them. Right. They're doing it out of love. They're doing it out of concern for themselves, when in actuality they're doing it so they can eat your flesh. so they can gain sustenance from your success. It has absolutely nothing to do with love. It's the most perverse, sick, incestuous, it's both sexual and cannibal, both at the same time. It's a debt that's beyond comprehension. But my parents were good. Right. Anybody want to defend their parents?
Not anymore.
You know, I always think that my dad was such a bad person, but it brought something up just now. And I remember that he would take in these homeless men. And I remember that, like, these black men coming into the house. And they'd be like winos and stuff, and they'd be like in the house. But I guess what made me think of it is just even the negative that you...
Right. Even the negative is a debt, because you will respond... If you have a negative image of family, then that controls you as much as a debt that they gave you, because you've got to, you know, you've got to, I'm not going to be like my mother. I'm not going to be like my father.
I'm glad you said that, because I was like not getting any reading at all. It's like I thought, well, I'm going to have to, you know, really sit down and think about this, because I wasn't, you know, I just wasn't getting anything. But then when you said that, yeah, because there was no... You know, no glorious,
yeah,
oh, be the best you can be, you know, be, I mean, it was nothing beyond the horizon. It was like below sea level. I mean, it was like gutter stuff, kind
of
like, you know, it was more like, you know, well, you don't want to get the rest.
Well, I do, because it may help others to understand.
Well, he's more like, you know, my dad yelling at my sister, telling her what a whore she is, and she would just, you know, just in like the most guttural language. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the word cunt and, you know, and bitch and slut and, you know, just that's just to the women. And then, you know, the boys would get like something completely different. Just, you know, I mean, it would just like run the gamut from, you know, he'd be on a power trip drinking and make my little brother suck his toe, even though, I mean, in front of everybody, it was totally this, you know, humiliating kind of experience, you know, and it was just sort of a kind of message like, You know, it was either like, I'm never going to do what somebody, you know, what I mean, you know what I mean? There's like, I guess these little things went on, but I can't really pinpoint any.
Right, but you know? But the natural response to that would be a debt that is equal to Harry's debt. And it would be that when I will never treat my children like that, or... I mean,
yeah,
it will be all of the... I'll not...
Or,
right.
You can see in me, you know, you can see the things that hit me, but I can see a lot of things that hit you. Just like, if I look at you the wrong way, man, that son of a bitch is going to tell me what to
do. That's funny, yeah.
But those are, yeah, but that's why these debts are so real, because we know they're real, because they come at us unexpectedly. I mean, we become aware of them, of their hold on us by the unexpected. We become aware of their hold on us by what makes us angry. I want to make sure everybody understands this parental thing, because this is the core of debt.
All the stuff that's gone on in the last several years between you and I, where I do this thing where I believe that I'm better than you. It's like, you know how I am with John Bloom? I'm the same way, I don't say it out loud, but I'm the same way with Gary Richardson. It's the way I acted toward Jeff Sterling. My whole life has been, I'm around these people that I consider to be better than me. Like I was thinking, this guy John Elmers, that just retired from Dr. Pepper. I mean, we were good friends. But I had to tell myself and anybody that would listen what a jerk he was. Because he was better than I was. And it was what I wanted to be. It was like, I looked at him and I said, I should be that. I look at John and I say, I should be that. I look at Gary Richardson, I should be that. I look at you and I say, I should be that. And so I, somehow I have to like make these put flaws, see flaws in these people.
You have to make caricatures.
So that I can live or something. I don't know. Because,
yeah. So you can live with the debt.
Man, I tell you, I can really just. It's like,
but see,
it's really real.
Can you see what life could be like if we had no debt? How that love could flow naturally? Almost everybody I know, they get into a relationship for exactly the same reason that you had, because they want someone to love them. The mystery of the universe is you need nothing. And by the giving without consideration for return, that's when you're fulfilled. And that's why the love, the only love that has meaning is called, and the word is agape. It's the love of emptying without regard for gain. And the mystery, but see, that can be really confusing, because you can have a tape in you that says, well, I'm supposed to give everything, and that's, it's the doormat tape.
We got one of those.
Huh?
I love it.
Yeah, it's the doormat. Well, that's not love. That's fulfilling this weird, idiotic identity by being fulfilled, by being treated like a doormat.
But it is like a debt, because you say, I'm not going to marry someone like my dad. I'm going to do the furthest thing from it. And yet, somehow, it slips right in there.
Yeah, it just goes, because it's the subconscious. It's not the conscious that's... It's your conscious mind never is the one that has to pay the debt. It's always the subconscious that pays the debt.
That's his right.
Well, no, it let God transform it. By seeing it and confessing it, then God can transform it in an instant, and it becomes real love.
Can you say, hurry up, God?
Yeah, but before he can do that, you have to see that it is a thing that you don't desire. You have to. That's why the emptying of all of these negative and positive things is what we must be about to be debt-free.
Yeah, because you say negative and positive, like we're comparing the kind of message, the positive, quote-unquote, messages, you know, some people are like, be the best you can be the top of the chain, you know. And then there's other ones, you're going to be a total bitch and a slut, and you're never going to be anything, you're just going to die in a gutter someday. You know, but it's the same kind of, the same side of the coin, it's the same, the giving that's required once.
Yeah, it's the same, that's why I meant, when I didn't explain it when I said comparisons. It's both, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, because like, I thought I didn't have anything to say, because it's like I don't have anything like that. You know, you were talking about President and going to, you know, Manhattan, and he was saying, you know, I'm gonna be, you know,
American Dream.
I mean, it's just like, fuck, I don't have anything like that.
I know, because I was sitting there thinking of anything, and that just popped in my head about my dad, and I was like, well, what does that have to do with all this?
Yeah, that's. But can you see why? This is a perfect example why each person's input, whatever they have to say, is no more important than anybody else's. I mean, you can never stifle whatever it is. Even saying, what the fuck are you talking about? That's just as important as saying, oh, I got this great revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a part of the debt too, that, well, if I don't have anything to give to that, you know, that pretty nice, neat kind of thing, you know, so the here I am kind of like invisible somewhere, you know, but that's
another tape.
Yeah, that, you know, because all I've got is this really crappy, messy, yucky stuff, and it's like, and anybody in any spot is going to try to go, oh, that's not pretty, that's not nice, I can't use that, you know, and it's, you know, I know this, so I think that's the part of the debt is, I've got to wait until I've got something really nice, you know, and worthy to give. And so that's why I've been, like, eating up definitions and, you know,
that really
spinning
makes
back
it,
out again.
That makes it clearer that anything other than total abandonment is debt. If it's not abandoned, if it's not given, it's controlled by...
It's controlled by the subconscious.
Debt.
Does debt have a lot to do with vows?
Well, it's a huge part of it.
Same.
Yeah. It's another word for debt. A vow is a debt. That's why, in James it says, above all things, vow not.
You felt the debt, and you make a vow about the debt.
Right.
Now, I can see a lifetime of blown relationships with men and blown relationships with women and a zillion people.
How about sheep?
That didn't even exist.
No, I'm just kidding.
Sheep. We're honey. Got a picture of sheep in your
Yeah, but much of the, that's a good point. What?
I mean, there's a zillion people that didn't even exist.
No.
Because they didn't.
Yeah,
fit.
But, yeah, I know. But much of the transactions with the debt transaction occurs with people that never even know that you have a relationship with them. Because, you know, I've heard you say, and I've heard Pete say, you were in a store and you were attracted to this beautiful woman, and all of a sudden a whole series of debts would start to play. And Pete, it was, I'm not worthy to talk to her. And you, it probably is similar. And yet, the debt then, you have an intimate transaction.
A lot more so since I don't have any money or position or possessions. Or.
Oh, I don't either. But
I mean, I used to hide behind all. I'm just saying, it's even more so
yeah.
now.
But are all the other possible things that you have a response to people in your mind because of the debt, they don't even know you've had this.
Can you debt them?
Sure.
That just dawned on me too, is that you say that.
Well, no, you can't debt fear. Fear is the result of debt.
Like a person? Like if he fears you?
Yeah. But the reason he fears me is because he is because of another debt. And if he tries to make offerings to me to pay that debt.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of Gary having this.
I would fear speaking because what I would say would not be worthy in that particular situation or whatever.
But I was thinking about as a kid growing up too, and the fear of my father, and I started thinking about the same relationship you guys have, that probably a lot of that was in my own head.
Sure.
I mean, there were times that he was, but I'm sure a lot of that was just the fear in me.
Sure. Because once you bought...
And I made him out to be this monster. You know.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy.
But once you saw he was just a guy, then you could forgive him.
Right.
And that's why the scriptures are so clear about... You know, unless you hate your mother, father, sister, brother, you can't be his disciple. Because unless you do that, then you always will be, the parental debt will be there. You can't relate to them as people. You relate to them in terms of debt.
Okay, so why is it so important? I mean, it's like really important to me to not see you as just a guy. It's really important in a sick way. I'm speaking foolishly. It's important to me for this not to be taken care of. I mean, I'm getting something out of this. I'm getting something out of this weird relationship, making you a caricature or anybody else that I do this with.
No.
And I don't want it...
You don't want it to stop.
I don't want it to stop. I don't want it solved.
Because then you...
I'm afraid of something.
Yeah, what you're afraid of is there would be no redemption. Your redemption is when I make you feel bad. Can you see why the basis of Christianity is owe no man anything but to love one another? Have any of you ever owed anybody a lot of money? And didn't pay him when you're supposed to?
Yeah.
What's your response to it?
You avoid him.
You avoid him at all costs.
Hide. Feel bad. Lie. Chew my fingernails.
Lie.
Get drunk.
Plot.
You worry.
Worry. You have sex.
Borrow more money.
I mean, do you understand that? I'm serious. Hear me on this, because this is important. Do you understand that most people's sexual drive is not love, it's based on debt? And that's why for many, sex becomes an act of desperation instead of an act of love. And pretty soon, it all gets confused. And it's, and it's like a drug. It has the same, it reaches the same, you know, it's before the cerebral cortex. It's before the consciousness, in the same place the drug hits you. So it becomes this compulsion, and it's a way of paying debt.
Is this, I mean, it's so weird that modern, these word faith guys have turned, they equate God with a dollar. You know, seed is money. I mean, it's so weird, but it's so successful. I mean, it's got to be touching something. It's got to be the counterfeit of something real to be so successful. And it's this debt thing, isn't it?
Sure.
That Jesus is the way out of debt.
Right. But it's
perverted. Because I mean, I know that this thing about, you know, Oral Roberts or whoever it was that started out by saying you don't have to be poor no more. I mean, I know that that's a massive thing. When I was like 9, 10, 11, 12, it's like I realized we were really poor and I didn't want to be poor. And I'm definitely afraid of falling into that and driven to not be that. But it's got to be.
But I knew that Jesus was my way out of debt, but I just didn't know that I had to die. You know what I mean? I didn't, you know what I mean? I just couldn't figure out how he could be my debt, but then it was like, you know, what, I was still in that loop. I didn't, it was like something that wasn't, you know, I was missing something.
I'm not getting it right.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, I got to learn more, or I got to study more, I got to pray more, I got to do something more.
Get baptized again or something.
Yeah, I got to make another trip down the aisle. I got to walk the aisle again.
That's what you're talking about when you laugh at me and say I was in the promise for a minute and then ran right to Babylon. I was free. I was out of debt for a minute.
For a minute, and then you ran right to Babylon.
Back into debt.
But no, it's far. You get far more debt in Babylon than everywhere in the world. Because debt in Babylon is cause and effect. Therefore, everything puts you in debt.
I was free for a minute.
I wasn't going to talk about this tonight, but it's important. The reason that Judas denied Christ was because he could not see that the debt he was in was debt. It was righteous. Now, any man in debt will automatically deny Christ. For if you're in debt for any reason. And debt is the primary wrinkle or the spot on the body of Christ. That's why we must be rid of all spots and wrinkles. Denied Christ because it says Satan entered him, but I mean he entered him because he was in debt. The debt was that he had an image of what Messiah should be. So Judas's debt was religious debt, which is the next thing we're going to talk about. Now, you might say, well, I've never been religious. And I would say, you're a fool. You've always been religious. I've never believed in God. You've always believed in God. I've never prayed. You've always prayed. I've never tithed. You've always tithed. You just tithe to stupid gods, like yourself, like cocaine. Now, can you see how if you have an image in your mind of what God stuff should be like, then you will automatically, that becomes an overriding religious debt, and you will automatically deny Christ, and you will run from everything that doesn't look like it should. Am I communicating? It doesn't matter whether you say it's God or not. If you have an image of the way if you have an image of the way you think life should be, by definition, you have an image of the way you think God stuff should be. Now,
there's probably more religious debt than anything.
Right, it's total.
So this is the coming to the end of yourself. You haven't come to the end of the.
Right.
You haven't hit enough brick walls.
Let's go to Isaiah 53. Remember, you gotta get rid of your out of your mind that there's a choice as to whether or not you're religious or not. Can you hear me that the word Messiah is Jesus' last name. It's Messiah is the Greek word for, I mean, Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. And so Yeshua is the Savior or the Deliverer or the one that get me out of trouble. And Messiah is the way to do it. So the word, the name, Jesus Christ, everybody is worshiping this being because everybody has an image of what it's necessary for them to have peace, happiness, success, deliverance, salvation, whatever they want to call it. It's an image of the way things should be. I want you to, this, I hope, I want to break through all of your horseshit here. Man, every man has accepted Christ. It's not optional. You've accepted your definition of the way you think things should be, and that is Christ.
Down on this rock, and the angels won't let anything happen to you.
Right. That's
I think that was my...
Every man's definition of Christ will fit into one of those four. The four temptations. Am I communicating at all? Okay, now, if you can accept for a minute that everybody on the face of the earth has accepted Christ, it's not optional. Can you buy that? You look confused. It's already there within you.
Right.
It's inherent. Everybody worships Christ.
Because it is Christ within them.
Right. And they worship this thing, this image of the way things should be.
Who do you say? I say you are a penthouse in Manhattan and $1 million of your salary and
right. Or I say that you should not let me get hurt. Or I say you should.
Well, I see I'm not making a bridge between saying I want $1 million a year job and house in Manhattan, how that equates to Christ. Because that's the image you
That's the answer.
Him. That's the answer that he thinks that's his end. That's his thing. Christ is the thing that will cause you to have your heart's desire.
What is your heart's desire?
What is your heart's desire is your definition of Christ.
Your kids are certainly part of it.
Is your heart's desire to be married and have children? Then that's your heart's desire. That's your Christ.
Okay.
This is big time.
What will solve your problem?
What will make me whole? That is your Christ.
Be John Blow, if I could be you, if I could be John Albers, if I could be a whole list of other men that I've known, Gary Richards, then that...
Then you'd be the Christ.
I'd be the Christ. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's it.
Well, it's not... It doesn't have to go to the point of I'd be the Christ. It's I would be fulfilled. You remember the word... You remember when we studied the stars, the desired one, the coma? That is... These guys, the Magi didn't travel halfway across the known world to find a religious guy. They traveled halfway around the world to find that which would satisfy all men.
But wouldn't it still, I would be the Christ in that the Antichrist is...
The instead of.
Right, the instead of. So.
Yeah, but the only reason I said that is that you would never say that.
But what it's like, what's Christ going
to
give you?
Yeah, you would say it in those words.
Right.
That's what you're like trying to.
Right.
Yeah, because you want to admit you're serving the wrong God.
Right. No one in history has ever worshipped an idol.
Right.
No one in history has ever worshipped a false god. Do you understand religion isn't optional? Can you? Is it starting to sort of hit you?
What's the state? What's the desired state? What's heaven? What's nirvana? What's the presence of God? What is the presence of God? Where's the evidence of his presence? The evidence of his presence is...
Yeah. For you, what is the evidence of your heart's desire?
I understand the process, but at the end of that process...
The end of the process...
The end of the process is to be God. To be a God.
Yeah, she knows that. She knows that. Yeah. Go to Isaiah 53. Did I say that?
But that explosion of light, of that fulfillment of that, that's a God state.
Okay, I want to spend 1 second, and I want each of you, I want each of you to go down to your gut and tell me what that desire is. What will fulfill you, or what would fulfill you before you started? I don't want it to come against any cliches you've learned from me or anything like that. What you really at the gut believe, or have you believed, would be your heart's desire?
No suffering.
Okay, that's a good one.
Famous, admired, rich, desired.
That everyone would like me.
It's a great one. That's a good one. That's a good one. No lack whatsoever. It's another good one. Healthy.
Orgasm all the time.
Cool. I
can go with that.
That's what I meant to say. I got it now. It's no suffering and orgasm all the time.
Exploding into white light. It's a God state. That's what orgasm is.
Okay, now, I want you to try to understand this. You got to get rid of any ideas that you have about God stuff in order to understand what's going to be said next. Go to start in Isaiah 52. Verse 10. The Lord hath made bare, or revealed, his holy arm, or his seed, in the eyes of all the nations. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go you out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your rearward. Now, all that this is talking about, and we'll see it, I'll prove it to you in a minute, is the her that is your definition of Christ is this whore of Babylon. And she's deceived the whole world. Everyone in the world. And that position has with it in each person's mind an image. And you each said it. And everybody wants to add on what Gary said, but it's still an image. But now God defines who that person is. What that image really is, the one that really shall fulfill you, because that's a counterfeit. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report, And to whom is this strength, the Messiah, word, the arm of the Lord, there is the word Zeruah, of the Lord to be revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of all men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, he's the antithesis, he is the opposite of that which you have imagined. That which you have imagined will only cause you separation, fear, loneliness, heartache, everything that is totally and completely separate from God, separate from peace, separate from joy, separate from fulfillment. Everything that you have said, and that all men say is their desire, is the opposite of what their desire really is. You can't know that. You can't speak that to anyone who hasn't lived. Because they will be convinced, no matter what you say to them, that if they get this next deal, or they go to the next place, or they get married to the next person, or they do whatever it is they want to do, that then they will be fulfilled. Then that image that they have will be complete. But he has no form nor comeliness. When we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. So it can only come. That's the mystery. God can only come to you if you have been destroyed. And your image of him, of that Christ, that desire that you think has been destroyed. Now, it's very difficult. I know that's why only a very few ever hear this. Because you will automatically, if it's destroyed, you'll go try to rebuild it again. You try to, well, if I do it this way this time, if I hold my mouth this way this time.
It's like something flying in your eye, and your eye automatically
blinks.
Got to get those Romans out of Judea.
Oops, really, in my way.
Then everything will be fine.
It's weak, and it's the opposite of what we want to do.
Right. Because for us, again, I've told you all before, this place is my worst nightmare. There's nothing here that I desire. All I wanted was a high rise on Turtle Creek, living in grand isolation, doing what I wanted, when I wanted,
with who
I wanted. The problem is I did that. And it left me alone, empty, bored, fearful, considering suicide. And so all of a sudden, this thing that I would have rejected at all costs, this, you, us, this neighborhood, has fulfilled my every desire with no effort on my part, with no idea of how it came about. Because I was worshipped, and I said, well, I became a believer. I've been a believer since I was born. I was just believing in the wrong God. But can you see why, from his perspective, this must be, this is it. I mean, I'm not saying we're the only yet, but this kind of place is it. Where you're forced into emptying yourself, where you're forced into vulnerability, where you're forced into, and all of a sudden, this great, wild, weird thing happens, and that you find out that when you're weak, then life happens. When you empty yourself, when you really say what's going on, when you... A perfect example was this thing that happened, where you did not know, so you were not... When she said it, it triggered it. You needed her more than life to understand this incredibly important thing.
You know, it really opened floodgates.
Right. That's why it says we glory in suffering.
Yeah.
The worst imaginable state would be a life without suffering.
And that's what everybody desires.
That's what everybody desires. It goes into debt, yeah.
That case is being weak, and then you pray to this God telling him you want to be strong.
Right.
Make me better. I don't want to be.
Right.
So by hearing you say that you would have committed suicide, I know I probably would have committed suicide if I'd gotten what I wanted.
Well, I got what I wanted, and then I wanted to commit suicide, but I couldn't figure out a way to commit suicide where anybody, because I couldn't, in my pro, I don't care if it hurt, in my program, nobody could know that I had committed suicide.
Oh, you know that chicken shit, you know, didn't want that image.
Right. That's exactly it. My that vanity was so strong, I didn't want anybody to know that I'd killed myself. You know what I did? I forgot. I remembered. What did I ever tell you about the balloon and the gun and the water and the...
Oh, God.
Then I...
Ice bullets.
Huh?
Ice bullets.
Ice bullets. No, I had to figure this. I was a fast-moving river, a helium balloon tied to a 45... that I had to pull it down, shoot myself, and then the balloon would take the gun someplace where it couldn't be found. I'd be washed downshore 1,000 miles.
How long did it take you to think of that one?
That was pretty quick.
A couple bottles of scotch.
A couple bottles of scotch.
Hijack a 727 and then jump out the back door.
But my point is, I got what I thought I wanted. And everybody that I know that has achieved what they wanted ended up in the same place. And I know a lot of people that have achieved what they wanted. I read a report that said I told Marie, 50% of the traffic deaths in America are caused by suicide.
Yeah. Almost all one-car accidents. We learned that at Allstate, but almost all one-car accidents that are fatalities are suicides. And most heart attacks are suicides.
Most things that are listed as heart attacks.
Yeah.
How's that?
People set about to kill themselves.
Like if you're on alcohol, basically you set yourself up anyway.
Well, but I mean this, I mean, I couldn't even believe it. The idea that, because I thought about that too. But I was afraid, you know, that I'd get maimed. I didn't want to get maimed. You know, I was up high, 23rd floor, and I was probably, and I was going to jump, and then I was convinced I'd hit that bush and it would save my life and I'd just be crippled. But the debt can be so strong that it bankrupts you to suicide. It bankrupts you to every... We have to go on and on and on and on until we see the end. We have to push all the barriers until we see. And the spiritually, why we have to do that is so the vessel is broken.
This isn't Christ. This isn't Christ.
God is what's left, as I said before. The true God is what's left when everything that you can think about is gone. And that's a hard one. Because we don't want to let everything go. Even though we know deep down with us that the thing that we think we desire is just going to end up being as shitty as everything else was.
It occurs to me that God is a loving Father who is in control.
Amen.
It's the same thing with marriage.
Oh, yeah.
That process of until everything else is gone.
Yeah, marriage is the perfect type because every image that you have of marriage has to depart and then real marriage starts. There's parental, let me just review these and we'll quit. There's parental debt, educational debt, religious debt, self-image debt, societal debt, relationship debt. You as a parent, your responsibility debt. There's career debt, vocational, there's avocational debt. Generational debt. All of these things that we're going to try to categorize, understand, and to be able to say, I don't want to do that anymore. If you think you want to do some of it, then we have to talk. We have to have a little chat. If there's any part of you that wants to stay in debt, And we need to have a chat.
What does that mean? I guess that's a part of the like something. If you
doesn't care if you like it. Marie asked me this question when we first started talking about this, when she was, I guess, the first night here. She said, if you're going around and you see something you like and you have the resources to get it and you get it, then it's not debt, obviously, because you've gotten it. It's instant. Your yes is yes and your no is no. Boom, boom. There's no problem in that. There's not debt.
I started freaking out today. He was sitting there and I was sitting here and Doug was here and Don was here. We were talking about this phone call from Peking.
Beijing.
And I'm sitting here like, remember the character Gilda Radner used to do on Saturday Night Live where she would veg out and just sit there going, like that? I was just sitting here going like that. And he's over here going, okay, Doug, first of all, ask him this, and then tell him this, and oh yeah, tell him that. And I'm sitting here going, I started freaking out. But it's because of this debt thing. It's like, what? I see you do something, and I go, I should be able to do that. I'm supposed to be able to do that. There's something wrong because I can't do that.
That's what rocks the body.
God.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's a zillion things that I can do that you can't do.
Yeah,
and I keep trying to change me.
Yeah, that debt, you can't be Herod, you got to be holy.
Yeah, it's just obscene. This was really negative. I mean, I was getting really freaked out because something was wrong.
But that's why, I mean, we are a living organism, and each part is equally important. And until we see that, then we still think in terms of separation. And it's only our weaknesses that will allow us to see that. I mean, we're not created to be successful in isolation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are still one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, and if that, in other words, if they're all alike, there couldn't be a body. And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much more those members of the body which seem to be more weak or feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For the comely part has no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the member should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I mean, just think about it. The place that gives you the greatest pleasure is the place where waste is removed.
What jumped out at me first was like the bond of free, that, you know, I thought that at some point that I wouldn't feel, you know, in bondage. But I know that all that was necessary, that I'm always in bondage, but it's transformed into, I mean, that's why it was needed, like, from the very beginning.
Amen.
So that I could
because I think, well, I'm not supposed to, like, be that anymore.
You're supposed to be exactly as you are.
But
if
like
you could just hear that.
But I just see it differently. I don't see it with emotion, or I don't see it with the same emotions or judgments,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, and that rounds it out. I mean, that's why. Well, I can't experience. I mean, each of us are bringing something in that it all had to happen in our lives exactly the way it happened, so that we would bring in that which exactly as we have, and we can't condemn ourselves.
What's that line in John's song? I feel God's hand rolled on
mistakes, and perfect shining and growing up. That's liberty, purity. Well, I said
that. And that happens when we give that.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is, that's when that happens.
Right.
So he really has called a bunch of misfits that fit together.
That's why much of the church in the world is missing the mystery, because they despise weakness. They try to fix weakness. You understand debt a little bit better?
Yeah.